Genesis chapter 4, verse 7. Genesis chapter 4, verse 7. As we look at the fundamentals, what we need to know, amen, these last days which we live. Genesis chapter 4. Now, we've looked at the Bible, seeing that the Bible is the inspired, inerrant, infallible Word of God. We've looked at the God of the Word, and He's pretty good too, amen. And we also looked at the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, and His magnificent name, who He is, and what He does for us. And we sure do appreciate all that He is. Amen. Tonight we want to look at, we talked about looking at redemption and salvation and all those good things that God does for us, what He supplied for us. But we can't really look at that till we look at sin. Amen. We look at sin, we realize that what sin is, and that we are just old sinners saved by grace. And then we'll realize why we need salvation, redemption, and justification, and sanctification, all those good things that come from the Lord. Amen. And all good things do come from the Lord. Amen. Praise God. From the Father of lights and come down to usward. Amen. Genesis chapter 4 in verse 7. The Bible says, "If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted?" Question mark. Now notice that. If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? That's a question. And He says, "And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him." So what is sin? What is sin? Hebrew words that refers to sin is awan, which is speaking of crookedness. Amen? That's something that's not straight. That's something that's not got a direction. Amen? See, without a direction, we'll be crooked. Amen? We won't be shooting straight. Another word is ra, which means violence. Amen? Violence. Another word is nabhal, meaning a fool, or to be foolish, to act foolishly. Another word is hata in Hebrew, or hamaraton in Greek, both meaning to miss the mark. Amen? It means to miss the mark. Well, of course, if you're crooked, it's going to be hard to shoot straight. Amen? If you got a bunch of violence in your life, God's not going to lead you in the path of righteousness with that in you. And if you're too foolish to listen to what God has to say, you're not going to get the right direction anyway. Amen? And it's so probably if these things are part of our lives, then we're probably going to just miss the mark. Amen? But then number one, it says the ideal of missing the target. The ideal of missing the target. The question is, what are we aiming at? I want to ask you tonight, what are you aiming at in your Christian life? Is your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, is it real? Amen? Do you believe that He is the Son of God? He came, He lived, He died, He gave His life? That He rose from the dead? According to Scriptures, that He rose to sit at the right hand of the Father on high to make intercession for you and I? How are we going to react to that? In other words, what kind of aim do we have in our life because of what Christ has done for us? I guess what we're asking tonight is, what are we going to do for Him? Amen? He's done so much for us, Brother Lynn, I mean, all in our lives. So many times He's intervened in situations And we didn't even think about it. He just did it, praise God. And we didn't even stop to thank Him, and you'll give Him praise and glory for what He did in that situation. So we ask the question tonight, what is the aim? What is your aim? What is my aim tonight? Our aim ought to be to please the Lord Jesus Christ, to recognize and lift Him up and allow Him to be the Lord of our lives. That's what we looked at last week. We looked at Jesus Christ, our Lord, the master of our life. Amen. The one that takes charge because we give Him control. Our target. Wait a minute. What is your target? Number two, what is your target? What are you aiming at? Or your goal in life? Now, I deal with this a whole lot. I was talking to some people the other day, and they was talking about their son and his life and their plans for his life. And we've got some teenagers here tonight that's getting closer to being finished with their schooling, the elementary school and the high schooling. and getting ready to look and focus at their life and what's coming down the path, what God would have, and we need to be thinking about what God would have us to do. A target, if you will, called life. Amen. What we're going to do with our life and set us a goal for that life. But we need to be sure that we've got God in the midst of that. For everything that we do, these children and us alike, we need to have a target and we need to have a goal. And but that whole, the whole purpose and goal of our life should be to be pleasing to the Lord God, to the Lord Jesus Christ, that He could get glory out of our lives. Amen? So in having said that, we know that a sin can't be a part of our lives. So we need to pray that God would keep us from sinfulness. Amen? So our true target is the will, W-I-L-L, and character, it should be, of Christ. Our true target is the will and character, C-H-A-R-A-C-T-E-R, of Christ. To miss this is to come short of the glory of God. He said, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So where does that leave you and I tonight? It leaves us in a place where we know that we need help from a higher influence, a higher power. We need help from the Lord. Amen? Me and my wife was talking tonight about a fellow and said he didn't believe in God. He wouldn't have nothing to do with it. And that's sad. Because you know that when he goes out, he's going to spend eternity in hell, lost without God. But the very God that he rejects and denies is the one that could save him and keep him out of hell. And I told her, I said, what you have to do is try to figure out some way. He might not want to hear it, but you have to figure out some way to give him the gospel. And the very best way that we can do that is let him see Christ in us, that hope of glory. Amen? At every opportunity, amen, let him see Christ. Show him Christ. Amen? Christ said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. He said, it don't matter if they're lost and undone. He said, all men have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But he said, that don't mean God can't save them. Amen. God's bigger than that. Praise the Lord. So what is sin? Number two, we're going to look at the nature of sin. Amen. So sin is the crookedness, violence, foolishness, and missing the mark, being off target. But the nature of sin, N-A-T-U-R-E, the nature of sin, number two, sin is referred to as, look at 1 John chapter 3 and verse 4. Somebody want to read that? Amen. So what he's saying here in 1 John 3 and 4, he's saying this, that whosoever committeth sin also transgresses also the law. So in other words, what he says is that is lawlessness, being outside of the law and the commandments of God. We're living a day and an hour that people don't even know that, don't believe. They don't know it, much less believe it. We're living a day and an hour that everything's okay. That's why people can commit these atrocities on other human beings and they don't see nothing wrong with it. Amen? It's been, as they was talking about Billy Graham who just passed away and they're having his funeral tomorrow. And they asked him a couple years ago, he said, Brother Billy said, what's wrong with America? He said, we're trying to live in a moral society without religion. Amen? He said, you can't have morals without religion. Because religion, trusting in faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, praise God, in your religion, being a religious person, putting your faith and trust with Him, will give you the morals to be a good moral person. So we're trying to have morals without religion. We've got to have Christ in our lives in order to have those morals. So he said, what we have without that, he said, we just have lawlessness. Amen. That there's no law, there's no direction, there's no purpose in our life. Amen. For sin is the transgression of the law. It's that missing of the mark, amen, if you will. We're going to get into this, we're going to tie these together, and we begin to see how God lays this thing out. God knew exactly how you and I would be. He knew exactly what would be happening in these last days in which we live. And this thing, hey, listen, folks, look at me just a second. This thing's almost finished. I don't know if any of you know, have you heard the news? You know, they're talking about that United States is moving our embassy to Jerusalem, and that it might take several years in order to make this happen, because they would have to find property and they'd have to get an architect and build a building. Well, they come out this week, amen, and said that they've got the property, the building, and they're going to be in our embassy in Jerusalem by May the 14th of this year. They're going to be into it so that we can celebrate the birth of a nation of Israel in May the 14th, 1948. Said we're going to be there to celebrate it with them. They're celebrating, yeah, by the way, they're celebrating 70 years. Amen. Jesus told them and said that when they come to be a nation again, he said, this generation not pass away till the Son of Man cometh. Amen. So if you take the Bible literally, pray God, we're on our way to glory. Amen. We've done been called out of here and just don't know it yet. Amen. We're waiting for a come up hither any minute. Amen. And as things begin to wax worse and worse around us, Paul said it would. He told young preacher Timothy, he said, just preach the word, be instant, season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine, because they'll not always receive it. Amen. But he said, things is going to wax worse and worse, Timothy. And then the end. Amen. What was he talking about? You mean he's just going to burn everything up? No, he's talking about the end of this age in which we live. The age of the church is going to go out of here to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. When lawlessness is put down, praise God. Amen. The God of glory is going to step out. He's going to get us and take us to be with Him. Praise His holy name. So we see lawlessness. The nature of sin is lawlessness. Number two, Exodus 34 and verse 7. Who wants to read that? So he's talking about the iniquity. He said, keep in mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity. Amen. That sinfulness that we all have, that sin that we're so apt to commit in our own lives. But he said, God is truthful and faithful and forgiving iniquity. Amen. But he said, that's part of the nature of sin, is not only the lawlessness, but the iniquity that comes with that lawlessness. And he says, God will forgive that iniquity. That's the kind of God he is, that he come to pay. The price of iniquity has already been paid in Christ Jesus, our Savior. And when we accept Him, we receive forgiveness of the lawlessness and the iniquity. Amen? That's in our lives. We see in Acts chapter 1 in verse 18, the Bible talks about that man Judas. Amen? And how he received the reward of his iniquity, his sinfulness. You know, what was Judas's sinfulness? Was rejecting the precious Lamb of God. The very one that had walked with him, had walked beside him, would neglect him and turn his back and betray him. Amen. Because of iniquity. Amen. We see that in Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1 and verse 18. He said, now this man purchased a field with the reward of iniquity. Amen. And falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst and all his bowels gushed out. His iniquity, his sinfulness, amen. The very nature of his sin caused him the anguish that come upon his life. And he went out of here, amen, because of his iniquity. In Acts chapter 8, in verse 23, I've got a typo there. I'm dyslexic. Acts chapter 8, in verse 23. Somebody got that? Want to read it? Amen. Proceed there in the gall of bitterness and the bond of iniquity. So what he's talking about here is how iniquity, that sin, can get a hold of you. We see that all around us in the communities where we live. Sinfulness is rampant in the day that, in the hour in which we live. Everywhere you look, sin is prominent. Amen. And people don't think nothing about it no more. Used to, there was a morality in America. But because of our lawlessness, because of iniquity, we've forsaken our Christianity, we've forsaken the very religion, the very faithfulness and faith of what this country was founded upon, and we've slid away from God. Amen. And because of that iniquity, we said in the bond of iniquity, it's got a hold of us. Amen. Iniquity has got a hold of America, and it's taken us further than we ever thought we would go, and it's keeping us longer than we ever wanted to stay. And it'll never show us how to get back. But I'm glad to say that in the day and the hour in which we live, praise God, I'm glad to see there's some people standing up, taking a stand. Amen. Hey, some people standing up for things. I seen on the television set this morning a place that had a picture of an eagle flying with Psalms 91 written below it, and the atheist was trying to get that taken down. And the mayor there, she said, "We will not take that down." Amen. That was given to us. It was put up. He said, "People like that, and we will not take it down." Amen. Praise the Lord. You know what it's going to take? It's going to take some people with a backbone to stand up and say, "You know what? It don't matter what they think. It don't matter what the fool thinks." The Bible said, "The fool is said in his heart there is no God." That's why they're going to. In about a month, we're going to celebrate their holiday, April Fool's Day, the first day of April. Amen. But I want to say, praise God, they aren't to be able to pull the wool over on our eyes. Because we know that there's a God. And we know that He's real, praise God, and He's at ever-present help, even in troublesome times like these. So we see the nature of sin is lawlessness and it's iniquity. Amen. Which is basically just, if we look at it, look at Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5. Somebody have that? Amen. Wickedness. Amen. So we have lawlessness, have iniquity, and we have just plain wickedness. W-I-C-K-E-D-N-E-S-S. Wickedness. He said God saw that the wickedness of men was great in the earth. Kind of like it is today. Amen. Kind of like it is today. And that every imagination and thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. He said they let their imagination run wild. Amen. You know what happens? Because of lawlessness and iniquity, wickedness comes in and man just allows your mind to go where it wants to. It comes a time that we've got to take control of our minds. Amen. Amen. We can't allow the thoughts of this world to become our thoughts. It becomes wickedness. Amen. We got to be very careful. Somebody read Romans chapter 1, verse 28 through 32. I had 29 there, but read 28. Romans chapter 1. Anybody got it? Romans chapter 1. Verse 28. Says, even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. You know what that says right there? It says, because of wickedness, they have to work at their evil. Amen. They have to put forth effort to be evil. Does that not sound like where we're at today? Where people plan out their wickedness? Amen. They make plans to be wicked and hurt other people. They're turned over to a reprobate mind. That means they become past caring. See, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, and whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. See, Pastor, what is that? That's all these things that Paul mentioned here, that's wickedness in the eyes of God. Turned over to a reprobate mind to do those things is not to plan attacks on humanity. We seen it 2 weeks ago down in Florida. a young man planned and he purchased weapons in order to go in and mass destruction and take human life. You say, preacher, how do we stop this? Let me tell you how to stop that. You can stop that. Number one, you don't put his picture on television. You don't give him publicity. He's wicked. He's evil. He's vile. He's been turned over to a reprobate mind. Amen. That means he's beyond logic. He's beyond reasoning. Amen. And what you do, you take him out, and the first picture that you show of him would be the next morning, as he hangs off a gallows with his neck stretched about that far. You say, preacher, you're preaching a message of hate. No, I'm preaching a message of taking back society from the wickedness and the devils and the demons that would want to come in and take our country away from us. The next day after this horrendous attack on these children in school. Now, how somebody could go into a place and brutally murder your classmates is beyond me. You know, we had little scuffs in high school, and some of us boys would, you know, we'd get to thinking that we was the cock of the roost. And, you know, it might be come before the end of the day. Sometime we'd have a little old scuff, maybe a little fist fight. We never thought about pulling a knife on each other. We would never even thought of going home and getting a gun. Amen? You didn't have to go home and get it, praise God. We had it in the back of a rifle rack in a pickup truck. We went down to the firing range, the old Weaverville dump after school, and had a shooting team. Went down there and practiced. Me and a buddy of mine would take our shotgun. As soon as we got out of school, we'd run, get the beagle dog, throw it in the truck, and we'd go rabbit hunting. Nobody thought nothing about that. That was normal. What's happened? We're living in a time of wickedness. And people are so deceived. The first thing they did on that morning after that shooting, people were saying, oh, we got to ban guns. But it amazes me that they didn't, when they had the Home Depot truck and it went through down the street mowing people over as he went. The next day, people didn't come on there and say, oh my goodness, we need to ban Home Depot trucks. No. After the Boston bombing at the marathon, they had the pressure cookers and made bombs. And the next day, I didn't hear people say, well, man, we got to get rid of them pressure cookers. No, they said, we need to get these sorry rascals, need to put them down, we need to prosecute them to the full extent of the law. Deal with them individually. Make people accountable for their lives and what they do. Amen? That's what we've got to do. We've got to get our children back. We've got to take our children back. We've got to get them away from the violence of this world and teach them the love of Christ. Amen? I thought about those things. Brother Murray, I was talking to him yesterday. He gave me one even better than that. He said, you know what's even better than that, Pastor Jeff? He said, you got these fellas that when a policeman, a bad guy that's resisting and they get in a conflict and a policeman has to take out their handgun, in self-defense has to take them out. He said, isn't it amazing that they don't come after that handgun that policeman used to take that bad guy out? He said, they come after the policeman. Amen? Who's doing his duty? We've got a double standard in America. Amen. We've got a double standard. We need to get our thinking right. And we need to get our morality right. We need to get back to God and godliness. Treating people with respect. Recognizing the sanctity of life. Amen. You know, it kills me. We've got politicians that stand up and say, well, we need to get rid of these guns. We need to ban guns. When you've got people, you've got abortionists that's killing 4,000 babies a day. They say, well, they can't. Oh, we've got to protect our children. What about those little babies in the womb that don't have no protection at all? Amen. A double standard because of wickedness, because of iniquity. Because of lawlessness. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 19, the Bible says this, and we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. Amen? So we're of God. Those that's trying to do right, those trying to live right, those trying to live righteous life, we're of God. In other words, what he's saying is God's pleased with us because we're doing God's will. We're following in righteousness. And God's well pleased with us. Amen. Because we're not getting caught up in the wickedness of the world. Praise the Lord. And then we see the next one, Hosea chapter 5. Hosea chapter 5 and verse 15. Does somebody have that? Amen. God is saying of the nation of Israel, Ephraim to be exact, he said, I will go and return unto my place. He said, I'm going to withdraw myself from them till they acknowledge their offense. Amen. Their offense. That means that he said, you know what? They've offended me. Until they acknowledge their offense. Till they recognize that they were wrong. You know how we'll take America back? You know how we'll take our families back? When we realize that we're wrong. And that God's right. Amen? And He's right and He's righteous in all that He does. He said, when they acknowledge their offense and seek my face in their affliction, they will seek me early. He said, God said, I'll bring affliction upon them. I'll turn my back from them. He said, I'll let the affliction come upon them. He said, then they'll acknowledge their offense and they'll begin to seek me. And he said, they'll seek. He said, when they begin to seek me, he said, they'll seek me early because they'll want some help. Amen. When we begin to stand up and we begin to do the things that's pleasing to God, amen, we begin to realize, people begin to realize that this thing is serious. That we're serious. Amen. And we turn from our offensiveness to God into a defensiveness for God. Amen. Romans chapter 4 and verse 25. Somebody have that? Amen. Amen. Who was? Jesus. Amen. Jesus, praise God, who was delivered. You go back to verse 24, it says, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on Him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses. Who takes our offenses? Jesus does. Because we've offended God. We've committed offensive. That's worthy of death. But God Almighty, through the Lord Jesus Christ, praise God, He delivers us even out of our offenses and offensiveness. Praise God. He said, so our lawlessness and our iniquity and our wickedness and our offenses is all part of the nature of sin. Amen. And we've already read in Exodus chapter 34 and verse 7, it ties all these together. In Exodus 34 and verse 7, it says, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity. There's that iniquity. And transgression. There's it. And sin. And that will by no means clear the guilty. Visiting iniquity of the fathers upon the children's children, unto the third and the fourth generation. Why? Because of a lack of repentance. Amen. We continue to bring those offenses down upon our children and our children, our children's children. From age to age because of transgression. Amen. Our transgressions against God. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 14. Does somebody have that? Amen. Amen. The first from the dead. Amen. He said that those that haven't sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, that missing the mark. Amen. God put them in a garden and said, hey, this is a perfect paradise. They looked around them and said, man, we ain't lacking for nothing. Everything that we need, everything we'll ever need is right here, pray God, within the touch of our hand. Amen. But because they missed the mark, because they transgressed against God, because they weren't happy with what God had given them, I'm afraid sometimes we're not happy. We're not content with what God gave us when He gave us His Son. Amen. He gave us His Son, praise God, as a perpetuation of sin, for that redemption, that thing that would buy us out of our transgression, that would help us not to miss the mark, but would show us the target. Amen. Praise God. So we have lawlessness and iniquity and wickedness and offense and transgression, or number six, or just plain disobedience. Disobedience. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 19, the Bible says, "For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous." Amen. Because of one man's disobedience. Because God said, "Thou shalt not touch the tree of life." Amen. But one man, because of one man's disobedience. I wonder what our disobedience is going to cost our generations ahead. Our disobedience to God, our disrespect for God, our transgression, our missing the mark, and the offense that we have, the wickedness, the iniquity, and the lawlessness of our lives. What'll it cost? God help us. Amen. Somebody have Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2. Ephesians 2:2. He says, "Wherein in time past we walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." Where does disobedience come from? The devil. Amen. Disobedience tonight, it comes from the devil. It leads us astray. It makes us miss the mark. It causes the lawlessness and iniquity and the very wickedness that's in our life. The disobedience, disobedient to God, disobedience to His direct commands. Amen. That's the very nature of sin. That's what sin is. Number three, it's the basic element in the basic element in sin. E-L-E-M-E-N-T. The basic element in sin is God's will and man's transgression of that will. God's will and man's transgression of that will. God's got a will for us, but we're missing the mark because we're not aiming at the target. You might say it is crossing that line that God has laid out. Crossing the line that God has laid out. We see that in Amos chapter 7, verse 7. Amos 7:7, he said, "Thus he showed me, and behold, the Lord stood upon a wall made by a plumb line, with a plumb line in his hand. And the Lord said unto me, Amos, what seest thou? And I said, a plumb line. And he said, then said the Lord, behold, I will set a plumb line in the midst of my people Israel, and I will not again pass by them anymore." Amen. So he said, "I'm going to put them a plumb line. He said, I'm going to draw you a line. I'm going to show you how far you can go. I'm not going to just keep coming back and showing you." He said, "I'm not going to change the line." Amen. To God be the glory. He said, "I'm going to draw you a distinct line." He said, "This is where you go to, and you don't go no further." Amen. So what he's saying is God's will, and he said it's man's the element in sin is God's will and man's transgression of God's will. It's crossing that line that God has laid out for us. And we're not stupid. We know where the lines are. Amen. It don't take very long for a little kid to figure out where the lines are. What are you talking about, Pastor Jeff? I'm talking about what the difference between right and wrong. We're living a day and hour. They think that you would think that people didn't know the difference between right and wrong. It's not that they don't know the difference; it's they just don't care. Amen. It's because of disobedience. It's because of the nature of sin that's taken over the world in which we live. And we've transgressed and missed the mark of the high calling of the great God of heaven. Number one, he said, we call some men murderers and others liars. M-U-R-D-E-R-S-L-I-A-R-S. We call some men murderers and others liars. God calls both men sinners. Amen. We want to prioritize sin and say, well, this is a little sin and this is a big sin. No, sin is sin. Amen. Sin is all these things. It's a lawlessness, it's iniquity, it's wickedness, offense, it's transgression, it's disobedience to God. That's what sin is. There's no big sin and little sin. It's all sin. Amen. God calls all sin, sin. Amen. We want to sugarcoat some of them. You know, some of us want to try to hold on to our little pet sins. Amen. Those little things that, well, it ain't really that bad, preacher. Well, it really ain't that good either. Amen. So what are you saying? So I'm saying we're coming to a line and we got to decide whether we're going to cross the line or not. Amen. What happened when we get up to the line, praise God? We may have to just let go of that sin so that we don't cross the line. Amen. Because then God begins to deal with us. So sin is basically rebellion. R-E-B-E-L-L-I-O-N. Sin is basically rebellion against the sovereign or that unchanging steadfastness of God, will of God. Luke 19 and 11. Somebody got that? Luke 19 and 11. The Bible says, as they heard these things, they added and spake a parable, saying, he added and spake a parable because he was nigh to Jerusalem and because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. 19:14, I'm sorry. I was reading 11. 19:14. He said, but his citizens hated him and sent a message after him saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. Amen. What was happening here was rebellion against the Lord Jesus himself. He was teaching them, he was instructing them, but praise God, they wasn't receiving his instruction. So it was rebellion. What's happening, sin is just rebellion against God. Amen. No way to sugarcoat it, no way to say it nice. Sin is just rebellion against the God of heaven. The sovereign, unchanging God, the steadfastness of God, it's rebellion against it. Amen. Number three, the ground out of which sin comes is selfishness. That's why we rebel against God. That's why we do things our way. Amen. Because of selfishness. This is placing of man's will before the will of God. When you go to do things, do you ever stop and think about, well, you know, I wonder if this would be okay with God? Huh? We ought to. Because I guarantee you that your consciousness has already told you, it's already gave you a hint, praise God, you know, that don't seem right. Amen. So we stop and think, is it with this plan? So the ground out of which sin comes is selfishness. Doing what I want to do. This is placing a man's will before the will of God. Amen. So the ground. But number four, the root of all sin is unbelief. The root of all sin is unbelief. We see in John chapter 16 in verse 7 through 9. The root of all sin is unbelief. 16:7 says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For I go not away, the comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, now watch this, of sin because they believe not on me. Why do people sin? Why do we commit sin? It's because we don't believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what sin is. Amen. If you haven't heard anything else, if you don't remember anything else about what I've said tonight, sin, but we commit sins, we do sin because we don't believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Because if we believe on Him, He'll convict us of sin. He'll show us our sin. He'll tell us our sin. He'll tell us the truth about sin. Amen. He'll convict our hearts. He'll reprove us. In other words, He'll take us and turn us and head us in another direction. The Holy Spirit convicts unbelievers. C-O-N-V-I-C-T-S. Convicts unbelievers of sin. Not because they are liars and murderers and thieves or adulterers, but because they believe not on the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The next time you see people and their lives are caught up in sin, amen, before you're too quick to condemn them, I want you to think about this. They're committing sin because they believe not on the Lord Jesus Christ. Because if we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, He'll keep us from our sin. Amen. He'll convict our sin. He'll show us sin. He'll draw a line that we won't want to cross. Amen. I don't want to cross the line that Jesus has drawn for me. I want to be found pleasing to Him. Because like I said, this thing's just about over. And He's coming to get us one day in a little while. There's going to be a trump and a shout and a come up hither. Praise God. And those that believe on Him and trust in Him, that we're looking for Him, that we're relying on Him, that are adhering to His Word, praise God, we're going to go out of here with glee, shouting His praises all the way to the throne of grace. Amen? I'm ready. How about you? I'm expecting till He comes. But unto then, praise God, I'm not going to be caught up in sin. You know why? Because I know what it is. Amen? And I know someone who can keep me out of it, deliver me safe unto Himself. Amen? What we need to know about sin.